You're listening to the Gutsy Podcast, where we talk about all things real, raw, and ridiculous about running a business authentically. Whether you need an inspirational pick-me-up or a swift kick in the mental ass, the Gutsy Podcast is your bi-weekly guide to getting out of your head and back into action. I'm Laura Ora, branding and mindset coach for female entrepreneurs, CEO of Works & Co., and your host on this journey through entrepreneurship. It's time to fuel your Gutsy. Today, I have Etsy specialist Nancy Badilla with me to share her systems and knowledge to help you build a profitable Etsy shop, even if you don't have design or creative skills. Nancy has been in the digital space for 12 years, helping small business owners build and scale their businesses by leveraging the power of online marketing. With a focus on e-commerce coaching as well as content creation, she is able to provide her clients with the valuable expertise from startups through all different types of growth stages, making sure they're equipped with everything they need to be successful. Welcome to a new year, my friends. Happy 2023. My name is Laura Ora. I'm an alignment coach and your host and guide on this journey through the Gutsy Podcast. If you're a returning listener, I want to thank you so insanely much. We hit over 50,000 downloads in 2022, and I could not thank you anymore. And if you are a new listener and wondering if this show is for you, first and foremost, welcome to the Gutsy Podcast. And I just want you to know that we keep shit pretty real around here. So if you love lovingly blunt, honest, and candid guidance and conversation around mindset, your business, expanding your life, honoring who you really, truly fucking are, and doing things that impact the world and your life in a positive way, then chances are this is probably going to be a great show for you. Regardless of where you are on your personal alignment journey, I want to make sure that you know the different ways that we can connect outside of the podcast. If you're dabbling, you want some more information, you want to lean more into my coaching and teaching style, I play the most on TikTok. You can find me using the handle @ThatLauraOra. You can also find that link on my website, which is lauraora.com, L-A-U-R-A-A-U-R-A. If you are looking to hire a coach or a mentor this year, again, lauraora.com is going to be the hub for all things us working together. So you'll learn about my different coaching packages. Some are short-term, some are long-term. And in 2023, there's going to be some amazing group stuff that's going to be coming up as well. I'll also slide across the table that if you are a podcast host or you host events or workshops and are looking for speakers, I am always down to share knowledge, inspiration, and guidance with other people. So at lauraora.com/speaking, you can learn more about the different topics that I speak about. And there's a wonderful form that we can connect on there as well. We've already got half of this year's worth of guest episodes of the Gutsy Podcast recorded for you. So without further ado, let's kick things off and get this party started. Nancy, I am so excited to have you. Welcome to the Gutsy Podcast.
Thank you, Laura. I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely. So you have a pretty incredible story from growing up to what led you through entrepreneurship. Give us the backstory. Tell us what has led you to where you are today.
So I started the digital space out of necessity, basically. So in 2007, I purchased my first home. I was young and just purchased it, didn't have any direction. And I probably should have just stayed in school full time. I was trying to do too much. I was running a gym. I was working a full-time job. I was going to school full-time. And I also purchased my home and didn't really think about the consequences of, you know, having money saved and what happens if I lose my job, right, et cetera. And in 2008, when the financial crisis hit, I don't know if you remember, Laura.
Oh, girl, I remember.
Everybody got hit hard.
I was there. Yes, I remember.
Yeah, I actually started Googling how to make money online because I used to work at a health club called Bally's. I thought this was So Bally's, I used to work there and I used to go to DePaul University in Chicago. And I remember like Googling how to make money online because Bally's just had went under bankruptcy. So I went from making like six figures to barely making like 15,000.
Wow.
So it was a really huge hit on me. And then I used to have the house that I purchased was on the west side of Chicago, which wasn't a great neighborhood. So it was really hard to find a roommate. No one wanted to live in that area because it was just not the best area to live at. So on top of that, and making a lot less in my income, I just started, you know, I was doing three jobs. I was working at Kmart overnight. I was working at a bar called Funk in Chicago, selling Jello shots, and I only got paid based on my tips. And then during the day, I was working at Bally's. And in the evenings, because now I was part-time at Bally's, in the evenings, I was working at a company called Antenna Enterprises, selling cable. And I only got paid if I sold the cable.
Wow.
Oh, Lord. So I'm doing like four jobs, trying to save my home. I had to quit school. And I'm trying to do everything and anything to make the mortgage and save it and see if something turns around. And it didn't. I lost my home. I went to bankruptcy. I had to stop school. And this is how it started for me. I started Googling how to make money online. And I just fell in love with the process of it. At first, it was like a penny and I got excited and then like a dollar. But it was never enough to like quit my full-time job because it was a lot difficult. And like how me and you were talking about, like back in the day, there wasn't like the resources available now and all these tips available and courses and masterclasses. It was just like me trying to figure it out. I knew that people made money online. I knew a few people. I personally didn't know a lot of them either. And I'm like, okay, do they really make money? And then when I started making money, I just fell in love with it. It just didn't happen for me until years later. But that's kind of how I got into the digital space, through hardship.
But look, I can relate to you so much because that time frame, 07, 08, 09, mm-hmm. it was hard. So Nancy and I both started our business in very similar time frames, mm-hmm. With pretty similar stories. My husband and I also went through a bankruptcy and we lost just about everything. And like, it was a real shitty time. Right. And to mm-hmm. your point, in 2007, there just weren't the resources to start a business, operate a business, even the support, the conversations around business, the vulnerability around business. It just wasn't there. It was just like, put on your suit and tie and fake it till you make it and figure it out along the way. And exactly. Hope for the best. So exactly. I'm with you. It was, and if anyone's listening that was, you know, in operation at that time frame, you know what it was like. Is, you know, we didn't even have social media. I mean, let's just put that date out there.
exactly. It was so difficult.
it really was. And I love that you mentioned like it took you years, right? So from the time that you started your online business to the time that you were able to quit your job and actually like start to live off of this, what was that timing like?
You know what? So I started working at Verizon. I finally got a job. I quit all those little jobs here and there. And I worked there for 7 years and I drove like 80 miles a day. And wow. Verizon gave me the opportunity that I did so good over the phone that I could have my computer and I would do like a side hustle. Like I would do as much as I could at work. And then I would work after work as well. So I was working like evenings. I was working weekends, no life, no partying, no hanging out with people because I was determined to make this happen. And throughout the course of working there, I went back to school and got my second bachelor's and I got a master's in business and minor in marketing because I told myself, I love the digital space so much that either A, I'm going to make money online someday, or two, I want to eventually get a job that's really related to it. So I could be with similar minds so I could learn more because I loved it that much. And I ended up working for a company called Aronson Advertising in Chicago or in Chambord, Illinois for 5 years. And I got a lot of experience there. But throughout those years, I think my biggest setback was I was doing a little bit of a lot. So one day I was a blogger and the next day I'm an affiliate marketer. The next day I'm teaching you about SEO. The next minute I'm teaching you about PPC. And yes, I knew about all these things because I was dabbling on all of them. I just had not found like my thing. And I was like a little bit all over the place. And what I've learned now that I tell my students and I tell people that ask me, like, how can I be successful? I'm like, you really do need to niche down at first, at least in the beginning, and become an expert in that field and then kind of expand. Because if you're all over the place trying to serve everyone, it's just really difficult to get traction and grow your business in the right direction. So I think that helped me back. But again, back to your point, I think it's because when I started, there wasn't anyone telling me that. There wasn't any videos or people telling you, like, niche down, stay focused, stay in your lane, shiny syndrome, you know, forget about that, continue going. No one was really doing that. So for me, I was just so determined to make money. And sacrificing everything from my health, gaining weight, to not having a social life, because I'm like working, you know, 40 hours a week at my regular job, plus another 40 at home without making no money, you know, wow. Sometimes spending more than I'm making. And to be quite honest, I kind of learned a lot. And I always tell people, either you win or you learn. There's no failure. So everything that didn't happen for me at that moment in all these years, there have been valuable lessons that I've been able to apply now when I have a niche, when I'm more focused, when I'm staying on my lane. So therefore, a lot of times we look at things and like, why isn't that happening? And you don't even know, it might be the best thing for you and you're learning. Don't take it as a actual failure. And to kind of fast forward, in 2014, I got engaged. And one of my friends is like, you should buy on Etsy. They have like handmade products. And I didn't know about Etsy. I've never been a crafter. I've never been someone that makes handmade items. Back then, we didn't even have Canva back then. So I had to teach myself how to use Photoshop. You know, Canva's so easy. Anybody can do it. But back then, there was no such thing. So I never got into that field because I've never been a knitter or anything like that or created anything. I didn't even think I was creative, to be honest. So I started Etsy again as another project to see if I could make money on Etsy. I was like, oh, I'll do a case study. So what helped me with Etsy was that I already had experience, whether it was for me or working at the company Aronson. I had experience growing on social media organically and driving traffic back. So when I did my first Etsy store, I did printables on Word document. I would take a quote, save it as a PDF and sell it for like $5 on Etsy. And my first year on Etsy, I made about $21,000. And then my second year, I was able to triple that. From something that I really, really knew about, to be honest, I actually had to start all over again because I was selling infringement quotes. Like I was putting movie quotes and song quotes that you're not supposed to. So I had to start all over again. And I just did a wedding store because I had just gotten married. And I'm like, I learned a little bit about weddings the last year and a half. I could apply that. And I just started Googling, like Google, I love Google, Googling and figuring out how do people create invites? And I thought everyone that created an invite was a graphic designer. And you don't have to be. You buy clip art and you create your own invite. But that's how, you know, I didn't know all these things. And that's how I started. And once I figure out, oh, wow, like I'm doing really well on Etsy, I told myself, okay, so this is going to be my niche. I'm going to teach other people how to make money with printables, digital products, and how to build a successful online business with Etsy and then using social media. And that's how I started. Like it started with hardship to another case study to, oh, this one actually worked, to niching down.
Wow. Absolutely incredible story. I mean, it's like the resiliency of entrepreneurship is incredible. You know, when you just truly believe in your mission and your calling, right? Even if you don't have it always figured out, which who does, right? It's amazing how much you can really withstand to get to where you know that you where you want to be. Okay. You brought up something that I think is insanely relatable, and it's the I'm doing 5 or 10 or 15 things, right? I'm doing affiliate marketing. I'm doing online ads. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. What kind of guidance or advice do you have for someone that may be saying, I haven't quite figured out what my niche is right now, and I am doing a lot of things, and I don't know which one I should go for?
I think the best advice is if you're starting out, you can try different niches to see what works better for you. A lot of times, even like on my YouTube channel in the beginning, when I first started, I was like dabbling between Etsy and other topics. But then I noticed that the Etsy topics were kind of taking off. So I stopped the other ones and I just kept with Etsy. So sometimes not niching in the beginning and just trying and testing out different things until you find that winning product or that winning topic, I think that's okay. But once you pick your niche and you're like, okay, this is the niche that I enjoy, that I'm passionate about, or at least I could become passionate about. Because with Etsy, when I started Etsy, I wasn't really passionate about. I was passionate about the outcome I could get, which was making passive income. And then passion grew later into e-commerce and small business tips. And now I'm in love with it. But sometimes you don't necessarily have to be overly eagerly like passionate, but you do have to kind of enjoy it at least, because you could go months, years without really making enough to quit your job. And you need to make sure that you're doing it because you really enjoy it. And is that going to be something that's going to take a lot of energy from you in the sense that you hate doing it and it's not working out? Because then, you know, you go in that mindset and then it won't work out. So making sure that you have something you're passionate about and then focusing on that particular niche once you find it. And then in addition to that, because there's so many like social media platforms like Pinterest, Facebook, you know, TikTok, a lot of people jump on the trend of if I do TikTok, that's trending. And, you know, it does work for some people, but I honestly feel like to build a sustainable business is all about the value and the content that you provide. So even trends could potentially get you a lot of views and so on, but not necessarily drive the right people to your products. So what I always tell people is try to master one platform at a time. So if you're starting out, whatever you're doing, let's say you're doing podcasts, you're a blogger, maybe you have an Etsy store, focus on that. Do email marketing, because email marketing is powerful to build, to have your customers. You could reach out to them directly to their mailbox. You could focus on customer retention and get new leads, which is so important. So have email marketing set up and then choose one social media platform that's kind of like evergreen. So like you lower podcasting is evergreen, YouTube is evergreen, blogging is evergreen, Pinterest is evergreen. Other platforms like Instagram, I think they're kind of going that route now. Not 100% sure, but I think eventually they're talking about SEO and so on. And then Facebook is not, you know, Facebook only shows your posts only to like 10% of the followers. And then if people engage, then they'll show it to more. It's all about, you got to play to, you know, you got to pay to play in their platforms. But Pinterest, blogging, YouTube, podcasting are things that, I mean, I have videos in my YouTube channel that I did 4 or 5 years ago that still get views. They still drive me leads. They still, so focus on one platform. Try to master that platform, whether it's Pinterest or podcasting or whatever it is. And once you feel comfortable enough that you could bash out your content, have some sort of system in place so you don't run yourself to the ground. And now you're using that platform strategically, right? You know how to use it. You're just not another Pinterest user or another Instagram user. You're not trying to do 5 different social media platforms because you saw Nancy do it. So I'm going to do that, but I don't know how to do it. And I'm just posting every day, but not getting results, right? So once you master that and you feel comfortable and you feel like, hey, I'm getting good results, I'm driving traffic, this is working, then move on to a different platform like Instagram. It doesn't mean that you need to have all these social media platforms. There's many people that are successful that have like 2 platforms or 1 main platform and email, and that's all they do. Everyone is different. I know for me personally, being on all the platforms really has helped me grow. But I think also it's because I do a lot of organic growth and I don't really spend a lot in ads. And that's my goal now, is to eventually automate everything with ads as well, so I don't be so consumed with social media, because it does take a toll on you. But I think that's the best advice, is just master one and then proceed from there. Don't try to master all of them, because you won't master them, especially in the beginning when you're learning and things are constantly changing and you're trying to learn not only how to run a business, but now you're trying to learn how to use all of these different outlets to promote your business.
Right. I mean, it's like you, especially when you're starting out or even a couple of years in, like you're wearing so many hats, you're doing so many things, and then you spread yourself insanely thin by being on 4, 5, 6, 7 platforms and getting mediocre results and wondering why. Right. It's because, like, are you really spending the time that each platform needs to be able to grow and foster it, to be able to expand it, right? Like, or you just like schedule and hit post and never look at it again, right? Like that, it just, it as a whole doesn't work well for most people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people forget like social media is about being social. And even like Instagram, it's a great platform, but it's about building a community of people, a community of raving fans that love your product. And that takes a lot of energy and consistency. It's not just posting or treating your Instagram as a billboard of buy this, buy this, buy this, buy this. It's providing value to your target audience that when they first see your post, like whatever post you're posting, every post that you post should be intentional. Because imagine if that's your like someone sees it for the first time, like your target audience, they should be able to see that and take value from it and be like, oh, this is a person I want to follow. But you don't want to just post like a picture of your dog, or you don't have no strategy, or you're just posting anything. You haven't done no research. You're not really thinking about who's your target audience. You don't even know who you're serving. It's so important that you do these things first before you start trying to master everything. And like you said, you know, not just posting to post, posting intentional, that every post should lead back to your products, your services, that one thing that your signature offer, I guess, that people will want, or your products that people will want.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. There's a lot of power in social media, and you can really get in front of a lot of people. And imagine, guys, like, look, if I said, okay, you can get rid of two of your platforms today, how does that make you feel? Like, does that give you like relief? Right? Is that like oh, thank goodness, it's one less thing that I have to do? Or, you know, what is coming up for you? But just think about like how much power you have when you get to focus on one or two platforms versus having to spread yourself so thin. Etsy, that's what we're talking about today, right? Growing a profitable business on Etsy. Is that another social media site, or what is Etsy for anyone that may be new to it, or just maybe needs to be reintroduced to what Etsy actually is?
Of course. So Etsy is not a social media site, but it is it's almost like a marketplace where you could sell handmade products. So everything that you sell there, it's not reselling is not allowed. So everything you create there from digital products or physical products are handmade by sellers. And it's a great platform if you're starting out, especially because when you start a website, you have to drive your own traffic. You got to learn SEO. And with Etsy, they have their built-in traffic. So there's like 4.3 million Etsy sellers, but they're like 90 million buyers. Wow. So a lot of people are like, you can't be successful. I'm like, well, the numbers are like pretty, it's a huge difference. It's 90 million buyers. They have built-in traffic. So what I always tell people, Etsy is a great marketplace, especially if you are starting out. You don't have an online presence. Maybe you don't have social media. Maybe you don't have an email list. It's a great place to start, build your brand, build some traction, eventually do social media. And then once you're ready, then you could always migrate your Etsy store to a website. And some people keep both eventually. But it is a great marketplace because of the fact that they have their own building traffic. You don't have to create a website and then drive traffic through SEO. Now, SEO still works on Etsy. You have to optimize your title and your descriptions for SEO, right? Just like any other platform that's SEO friendly. However, that's all you do. And then it has the traffic there already. So it's pretty easy to get traction from Etsy.
Do you recommend, because it sounds like, okay, so you're telling me that, you know, I'm a creator and I want to sell some products online. Maybe I don't have to invest in my own website and e-commerce. I could maybe consider Etsy as an alternative, or do you recommend having both?
I think once you have established yourself, the best bet is having your own website where you pay less fees. And you could, you know, mark up your prices up if you wanted to as well, because now you're an established brand. But Etsy is great for seasons, you know, for people that already have a website, that's fine. But I feel like Etsy is just really great if you are truly a beginner when it comes to building a business online, because you could quickly go from zero sales to 1,000 sales by the end of the year. You could start making money and then eventually use that money to invest in yourself in having a website, right? Or having a Shopify store and building the dream of your Shopify store. A lot of people, it's a lot cheaper as well starting an Etsy store than it is to set up your own website and add all these additional plugins that you're going to need, create an email list and all these additional things. Etsy is just a cheaper way to start. It has their built-in traffic and is really easy to do as well for people that feel like they're not tech savvy or they feel overwhelmed just at the thought of starting a business. If you feel that way, then Etsy is the best route for you. And eventually, once you establish yourself and you are growing the brand the right way, then I do recommend having your website, maybe even keeping Etsy there, even if you migrate all your social media kind of pointing back to your website, but taking advantage of that built-in traffic that you already get from Etsy.
So it sounds like Etsy provides a lot of leverage. Yeah. Where like I'm not super sure what I'm doing. I don't have a ton of capital to invest in a custom built website or even something on WordPress or Squarespace. But I want to get started. So it's like this platform is already structured.
It's already something.
Essentially, yep. You're creating an account, logging in, loading your products.
And that's it.
Putting proper tags on and publishing.
Exactly. Because the payment method is already set up for you. Once you open your account, it asks you, how would you like to get paid? You put your information in there. You could literally open a store, I kid you not, within an hour, if you have one product already ready to list, within an hour, you could have everything set up. And then after that, just create a banner, a logo, about me section. And then every week, just start adding products that cater to your target audience and just keep doing that. It's so simple. They give you everything from Etsy stats to view your metrics, to see how you're doing. From they have an entire handbook on how Etsy works. Constant help from Etsy as well on building a proper business through their handbook. I mean, it's just an amazing platform overall.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. So talk to me about the fees, because I'm sure that this is not free, right?
No. So the fees are, at the current moment, they did go up in April 11th. So the current fees are 6.5% of every transaction plus shipping. And then if you're selling digital products, then there's no shipping fees, obviously, because there's no shipping fees involved. But for physical products, then you will pay for shipping and you get a charge of 6.5. Now, every time you list a product, it's 20 cents to list a product. When you sell that product, you get charged 20 cents again for the renewal of the product. Or if you don't sell a product, it renews, auto-renews, if you choose to auto-renew again, every 4 months. So essentially, you could, let's say, list up to 40 products today for like $8. And that's all you will pay, because opening an account is free. You only pay when you sell, when you make a sale. That's when that transactional fee you get charged for. Okay. And then the shipping. Everything else is only 20 cents to list. So even if you don't have a lot of money, maybe you got let go of your job. I mean, literally under $100, depending on what you're selling, obviously. But at least for digital products that I sell, you could literally start, you could buy clip art for like $20, create 100 products out of $20, because I've done it before. And you can literally start an Etsy store for 20 cents per listing and start listing.
Wow.
It's relatively very cheap compared to when you start a WordPress site. You got to pay for hosting, then you got to pay for the domain, then you got to pay for the SSL certificate, then you got to pay this additional fee for the plugin and this other plugin, and then you need this. It's just so many elements, but with Etsy, it's so much cheaper. And like you said, it's just already set up for you. You open the account, you list your new product, you publish, you edit your store, and you're good to go.
Amazing. So I love this platform because it's really given a lot of small businesses, micro businesses just starting out, a way for them to build a business without having all of that extra overhead. Now, of course, like you mentioned, they take their cut. You know, these things are not free. They're maintaining quite a monster of a website of their own, which has its own cost, I'm certain. But I love that they've created a platform that really gives a lot of people a chance that may have not had the same opportunities otherwise.
Exactly. Exactly. Or the patience to kind of go through the whole process of figuring out WordPress or Shopify, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So talk to me about different types of products that people sell on Etsy, because I know some people might be listening and say, well, I'm not crafty. I'm not a designer. I don't even know that I'm creative, kind of like you mentioned earlier. What are some different types of things that you're seeing people are selling successfully?
So I guess as long as it's handmade, you could sell. And you could look at it in different perspective. A lot of people feel like if I sell on Etsy, it's like clothes or t-shirts or candles. Yeah, those are some of the things that people sell. However, you could also sell products relevant to your niche. So if you are, I don't know, a Pinterest coach, you could sell Pinterest templates that you could create and market them on Etsy and also market them to your audience as well. If you are a blogger, or maybe you teach people how to grow podcasting, you could sell templates or stuff that's relevant to podcasting or relevant to blogging. So as long as it's handmade, you could sell it in there. It can be reselling, but there's so many different avenues that you could go with it. There's just people that are Instagram experts on how to grow on Instagram, and they sell social media templates. So it's not necessarily the physical stuff that we see, like phone cases or purses or t-shirts or, I don't know, plants. People sell plants in there as well.
I'm certain of it.
so many things, pillows. But you could also use it as a platform to kind of create a lineup of products that your audience would like. And then you put it in there and now you're taking advantage or leveraging, right, the traffic from Etsy. You're sending your traffic or your audience right now to your store to buy from you as well. So that's another way that you could set it up as well.
I love the efficiency and the simplicity of what Nancy is sharing with us today. Like, we overcomplicate the shiznit out of things, and really just breaking things down to bite-sized, simplistic, and actionable ways to get shit done is everything. And honestly, it's my coaching style. If you have decided that 2023 is your year to rediscover who you are and what you truly want, let's take this one step further and connect outside of the Gutsy podcast. I love sharing information here with you, but I know that we can expand on that. I'm on TikTok and Instagram the most. My handle is @ThatLauraAura. You can also find direct links to my social media at lauraaura.com. I'd love the opportunity to connect further with you, to hear your thoughts, to hear your questions. If you want to submit a question that you'd love to hear more about on the Gutsy podcast, DMing and connecting outside of here is the best place to do that. So again, if you are ready to rediscover who you are and take grounded, practical action to start to bring your desires closer to you, then go to lauraaura.com. That's LauraAura.com, and connect with me in the way that resonates most with you. Okay, so questions coming to mind. So I love that you pointed out handmade can be, yes, physically I'm hand making something, but also I'm also digitally hand making something, exactly. Right? So I am creating, and whether that's a tangible product or a digital product, both can be sold on Etsy.
Exactly.
Awesome. Exactly. So talk to me about, like, do you have clients that come to you and say, okay, well, I have an online business or I have a service-based business. I don't even really know what I would sell on Etsy, but I feel intrigued by this. What are some recommendations that you have to kind of help figure out what types of digital products specifically that they might offer?
I think one of the things you have to look at is your audience. Like, always go back and refer to your target audience. What are some problems that you see many people complaining about, and try to create a solution to that problem? So if you see people, like if you go to a Facebook group where your audience is hanging out and you go through the comments or the posts, what is the number one thing that you see constantly people talking about that is a struggle for that specific audience? And then try to create something that solves that problem. I think that's the first step. And that's how a lot of people come up with products that do really, really well because they create a product that solves a specific problem that their audience has. And then what you want to do ultimately is create additional products, almost like a robust line of different products that caters to that specific customer. So therefore, your current customers will buy from you over and over and over because people forget about their current customers. They're always thinking about when I'm going to get the next sale, chasing the new lead, but they forget that they have customers already. So if you create additional products that cater to them, that cater to the same audience, you could ultimately tap into getting more sales from them, repeated sales, right? Over and over and over, and also get new leads at the same time. And that is going to help you grow a sustainable business in the long run because you're not always chasing a new lead. You also have customers that will buy from you again. And obviously it takes traction to kind of build your email list and have that list of customers, but the more focused that you are and you only create products catered to a specific audience, it's going to be so much easier to create additional products in the future for them. So looking at Facebook comments, if you're in any groups, asking online, like Reddit has a lot of groups for different topics, like random topics. They have Etsy groups. They have groups for moms. And just seeing what is the number one thing that everyone's kind of like complaining or, you know, I wish they had this or I wish somebody came up with this. AskThePublic.com is a really great website. You could actually put a term in there like mom-to-be, and then you'll see the top, I think it gives you 30 questions for free. It gives you up to 3 tries if you don't have a membership, but it gives you 30 questions on the most common things people are asking about. Mm-hmm. And then from there, you could take that information. Not only can you take that information and create a product, but if people, let's say, this is what I tell, one of my students sells anxiety bracelets. And she's like, I don't know who's my audience. And I'm like, well, someone that deals with anxiety. It's sometimes we overcomplicate things. And I was like, and she has a website. So I'm like, okay, so you go to public, answerthepublic.com and put anxiety bracelets and see what comes up. And the questions were, does anxiety bracelet work? The top anxiety bracelets for anxiety. Which anxiety bracelets should I get for my anxiety? A whole bunch. Now you have all these content ideas. You could create 10 Instagram reels. What anxiety bracelets should I buy? And then you talk about your product right there. And then you create an article about that. And then you could create a YouTube channel and answer all these questions in individual videos. And you're creating products, right, that deal with the anxiety. And then you could create from there. I even told her like a fidget ring for people. Maybe they don't like bracelets, but they prefer the ring, the ring. And I don't know anything about the stuff, but I was even like coming up with ideas. And then we looked, researched other stores that had fidget rings. And I was like, oh my God, I didn't think that existed, but I just said it and it was there already. Maybe I've seen it before and didn't realize it, you know, by the moment I didn't know that was a thing. Right. And then that's how you find more products as well. And then you start creating a robust line of different products, like a collection that goes to that specific customer. And then you create content that is searchable so they could find you. So when people are typing in how to deal with anxiety, boom, there goes your article that shows up and it says the top 10 anxiety bracelets for 2022. They click on it and all the links go back to your Etsy store or go back to your e-commerce store or go back to your Shopify store. And you have a pop-up, get 10% off. Now you got a lead. Hopefully they sign up for your email. So these are the things you do, but it's all about what type of problem does your product solve for your ideal customer? And that's where I think everyone should start at.
Wow. You just walked us through the whole map there of how to go from like, I don't know what to sell to like how to sell so many additional things and grow your email list. So that's fantastic. You said it was askthepublic.com. Is that correct?
Yes, askthepublic.com.
Okay. Yes. So what I love about what you were just saying is that like how many people are sitting at home right now, just staring at their computer or their laptop or their iPad. And like, I don't know what to write, you know, I all of a sudden forget why my product is amazing or what my service can do for people. And it happens to all of us, right? Like I still experience it. Sometimes I'm like, I all of a sudden forgot everything that I've ever done in my life. But there are sources to help support you. And so that website, askthepublic.com, is one of those sources to help feed, like, what are people already looking for? Let me, instead of, you know, kind of going off on my own ship, let me jump on that bandwagon and really understand my audience even further.
Exactly. And another thing you could do is, I always tell people, work on content pillars and choosing like 5 subtopics that is relevant to your niche. So like for me, being an Etsy coach is Etsy tips, digital marketing. So like how to manage your store on social media. Another one is mindset, because having a business is all about mindset. Another one is passive income. So with digital products, even though I don't believe it's passive income in the sense that you'll make money overnight, but it will work for you if you put the effort and work behind it. So these are my subtopics. And then what I do is I'll use askthepublic.com or questions that I get, because when I get a new student, I ask them questions also. So I have this little feedback form right in the beginning of the course so they don't forget. And they tell me that what their problem is. And I add it. I add those and I tally them up and I make content around that as well. But what I do is I take 5 subtopics and then I have 30 questions for each. And then I create content and I alternate between them. So therefore, I'm not always talking about anxiety bracelets, but maybe I'm talking about Monday, I talk about anxiety bracelets. Tuesday, I talk about where does anxiety really stem from? Maybe on Wednesday, I talk about the wellness of mindset and how to transform your mindset to overcome anxiety. I don't know, overcome anxiety. And then maybe Thursday, I talk about, hey guys, join my email list. I provide a lot of information about dealing with anxiety, how I was able to overcome it. Maybe on Friday, I share my story. Hey, did you know I have dealt with anxiety for over 30 years? And finally, I was able to punch it in the face, right? Whatever. And then tell your story. And then maybe Saturday is your break date, or you share like a new product or something, but then you alternate and it doesn't look so repetitive of always selling your product. And all of the posts that you do or content or blogging or podcasting all goes back to your store, because at the end of them, you could say, P.S., check out my Etsy store. I have tons of anxiety. Or P.S., check out my blog. I have tons of free articles. Or P.S., check out X, Y, and Z. And then that's all coming back to your business again, right? It's all, you're talking about your past, but you're making it relevant to what you sell. And then you're making it intentional because you're pointing back to something, a call to action that you want them to take, whether it's or whatever.
Yeah, that's the value in the community that you're building. Exactly. Right? It's in the topic that the example that we're using, it's not just about anxiety bracelets. It's about a lot of people that are going through and have experienced very similar symptoms and often feel alone. And so how do you create that community around the topic that we all have in common, and then also be able to be the person to provide the solution, one solution at least, through your product. Exactly. So that kind of piggybacks right into what I was going to ask you next is, Etsy is not really a set it and forget it, right? Like, I think that there could be a misconception that like, oh, I'm going to put my stuff up on Etsy, and since it's already kind of its own search engine, I'm just going to get sales from that. I'm never really going to have to do anything. That's not accurate, right?
It's almost like a blog. You know, you have to continue listing and refreshing and adding more content. The difference is that with the blog, you could have, or podcasting or YouTube video, you could have a video that ranks and one that doesn't. But with your listings, especially if you don't have a lot of product, let's say you can only make 20 products or 10 products, because whatever you sell is difficult to duplicate. You really have to, I always recommend 30 to 60 days, at least 60 days if you could wait, is go back and review your Etsy stats and see how you're doing. Because maybe this year you open a store about anxiety bracelets, no one else was doing that, you were ranking the number one. And maybe next year, 10,000 stores open similar to your store And now instead of you being the top search for that, you're no longer there because there's so many other stores competing. At the end of the day, you're competing. That's the disadvantage of selling on Etsy, is that you are competing with other sellers. So not only having, you know, you need to have an email list. You need to have a strong online presence, whether it's just one platform, doesn't have to be 20 million, but work on at least one that's evergreen, in my opinion. So like blogging, Pinterest, the ones we mentioned earlier, and then making sure that you're constantly looking at your data and making the adjustments. So maybe you did rank for a specific keyword, you know, a year ago, and now you're not. And that happens. It's your job as a small business owner to go back, edit, and fix those listings. Because unlike a blog that you could keep adding and then traffic will still come, with Etsy, if you're not adding more stuff, your old listings can become stagnant, especially if more people are selling similar products like yourself. So you do need to measure your stats. But to do it for every 60 days, I don't think that's a lot. Etsy has their own internal ranking system. So when you do SEO changes for your listings, you could rank within 10 minutes because I have done it before. However, because your listings show up on Etsy and Google, like other large search engines, Google does say it could take up to 60 days to get indexed with them. That's for blogging. That's for like pretty much anything that is going to show up on Google. So that's why I always tell people, give it at least 60 days before you change anything. Don't constantly change it all the time. Let it rank. Then go back to that listing. You could view individual listings and you could see, okay, these keywords are doing good. These are not getting no traffic at all. Change those keywords, keep the ones that are doing good, and then publish again. So, and then wait another 60 days. But 60 days, it's not like you're changing it every week, which is like what a lot of people do, which they shouldn't do. But 60 days is very manageable. And that's another system that you have in your business, is understanding, okay, I just listed this 10 listings on my store. I'm a blogger. I'm selling these type of templates. That's all I'm going to sell because I'm focusing on my podcast. I'm focusing on Instagram. But I know in 60 days, I'm going to come back and review my Etsy stats to see how they're doing. Obviously, you would do management of your business every day. Check your messages because people are going to message you. Maybe they have problems downloading or the shipping or whatever it is. So that's daily. But the fixing and editing, it's not that much, every 60 days. And just have a planner or whatever you use online, a software that you could keep track of it. And every 60 days, you just go back and look at your stats and do the necessary changes that you have to.
See, I love that you're talking about this because I'm smiling because I think about TikTok videos that I've seen recently or reels or even pins. And it's just like, they just make it feel like it's a set it, forget it, overnight success. I made a bajillion dollars overnight and you can too. And I find that so frustrating. I'm not saying it's not possible, right? Mm-hmm. Anything is possible. Sure. But for the majority, there's maintenance. It's running a business. It's not just, you know, throw it up there and all of a sudden I'm going to make 100 grand next month. Like that's just not typically how it works.
No. And a lot of times, you know, the reason why many stores are not even making money also is because their products are not unique or different. Yeah. And they're selling the same products like everyone else. And ultimately they're like blending in instead of standing out. But running a business does take a lot of time. Yeah. It takes a lot of work. It's coming up with systems and processes that you do to kind of not overwhelm yourself. And it's a lot of looking at your Etsy stats. Data over drama. Somebody said that, and I wish I could say it was to me, but data over drama. Always look at your data. Don't say,
yes.
Oh, well, this doesn't work, or Etsy sucks, or my product sucks, or I'm not, forget about the drama, data over drama. The data will tell you. Sometimes yes. I've created products that I think are going to do extremely well and they don't. And then I created products that I thought they were good at the time and they did extremely well. And I'm like, huh? But you know, it is what it is, but you always want to look at your data because the more you know about your insights, your audience, who's clicking, where your traffic is coming from, the more you could be more intentional with your marketing efforts. And you could even say, you know what? I try all of the social media. I'm getting overwhelmed. But what I've noticed is that a lot of my traffic is from Pinterest. All of my traffic is from Pinterest, if not 60%. So maybe instead of trying to do TikTok and see if I could go viral, why don't you put that effort into Pinterest that's driving you the most traffic and try to figure out what can you do differently in your pins to drive the click or for them to buy? Is there something you could do? Can you do pins that take them to your email list to grow your email list quicker? Can you do pins that have a call to action in them? Can you do a pin where you put an actual discount on the actual pin just to see if that triggers more sales? Try idea pins, get on camera, talk about your products, but use that one platform that you've seen that's driving you the most traffic and use that as a way to kind of propel your business versus trying to chase what other people maybe got because of a trend or whatever. So I think that's like kind of like the best way to kind of go about it.
Yeah, I love that. It's like, and that's where the data is, right? So on the back end of Etsy in your portal, it will show you where traffic is coming from. And that's like, that can't lie, right? It's black and white information. So that's, I think sometimes people, and we did an episode about this a couple months ago about like being afraid of data and how it can be kind of like, I don't know what I'm looking at. And rightfully so, right? There can be a lot of information, but there's just some basic stats like, okay, Etsy is telling me that Pinterest is sending me the most leads. Let me invest my time more in Pinterest and grow that, right? It's nurturing the soil where people are already planting seeds and it's growing. So love it's so much working smarter, not harder. Instead of saying like, okay, well, let me try a whole new thing that maybe is not working. Now, once you get kind of a good system and that's running, like you mentioned earlier, if you want to add in another one and give it a try, there's nothing wrong with that. Well, but don't feel like...
I'm sorry, especially if you enjoy it too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but you don't feel like you have to be able to be successful because success looks so different for everybody.
Exactly.
You mentioned a couple of times about email list. Does Etsy allow you to grow your email list? Does it work with email platforms or how are you gaining your email followers?
Yes and no. So the platform is not the easiest to grow an email list. And I think it's because ultimately it's their platform and they want to have more control of getting the leads for themselves so they could remarket later to Etsy sellers. But they do have an approved partner, which is AbWeber. A lot of people feel like, oh, I can't use an email provider. It's not allowed. In their handbook, even in my course, I provide screenshots, handbook links and everything where it shows you that you can. So they have an approved partner, which is AbWeber. And when you connect with AbWeber through your Etsy store, they do have, I don't have AbWeber, but I know that someone in my course has it. So from the back end, Etsy actually emails people that purchase your products and ask them, would you like to join the list? It's not so much like you see the email from the AbWeber dashboard, but you don't have as much control, I guess, from when they send out the email because Etsy does that. Okay. However, even if you do AbWeber, you can put the link where people opt in. What I recommend everyone to do is put it in their banner, put it in their About Me story. The About Me story of an Etsy shop is the only place where you could put a hyperlink that takes them outside of Etsy. A lot of people don't know that, but it's the only place. If you put like an email link on your description, it doesn't click. If you put check out other similar products like this one on my Etsy store and you put that link, that one does work because it's pointing back to Etsy. Anything pointing outside of Etsy that you put on your description of your product, it doesn't click. So you have to put a little disclaimer, copy and paste this on your browser to sign up for our email list. But I do recommend putting it everywhere and everywhere because there are people that might look at your Etsy photos, but they don't read the description. So having a photo where you say, scan this, or you could do like a QR code, or you could just say link in description, but telling people join our email list, link in description, and then add in your description because not everybody goes through all of your photos.
but they might read your description. Or some people might browse and look at your About Me story, add it there. Some people might look at your homepage and see your banner. So just add it everywhere. The quickest way to grow your email list is to promote it, promote, promote, promote. A lot of people are too scared to promote or put it everywhere. So therefore, they only put it on the description and they never grow. And it's something that you constantly, almost like updating your tags, you constantly have to promote, whether it's us offering something of value, something on incentive, a discount, or some sort to kind of get that person to join. Because it's getting harder now to get people to join because there's so many people that are offering everything out there now. So but you have to promote it all the time. So just promoting it everywhere. And another thing you could do is, you know, if you are using social media, finding ways to promote it there. So you could promote it on your Instagram link. You could use like something like Linktree to have multiple links, or you could promote it in your website. You could promote your email list on Pinterest as well. Underneath your in your blog, you could put it underneath your YouTube channel, whatever you have. But it's really important to have one because one thing that I always tell my students and I tell people is not every single person that comes to your store the first time around is going to want to buy from you. Unfortunately, I wish that if I drove, I don't know, 200 people per day to my store, that all 200 people purchase. It doesn't work that way. Or if I drove 200 people to a webinar tomorrow, that everybody purchased or everybody showed up. A percentage of them are not going to show up. So you need to have systems in place. And one is email marketing, because hopefully a small percentage of those people might join your email list. And now you could remarket to them at a later time. But if you don't have systems in place and you're killing yourself creating TikTok videos and doing Pinterest and doing all of these social media outlets that you're using to drive traffic back to your store, but you don't have anything capturing those leads, even though I know Etsy makes it a little bit harder. It's not like your own blog that you have a little pop-up. Etsy does make it harder, but not impossible. So you just have to work with what you got now. And eventually, once you grow your brand and you're making a lot of money and you have kind of like a audience, then you could migrate to your own website, keep Etsy as a secondary place to make money and have your website as your primary source where you drive traffic, where you have more control, but you could definitely do it. It's just a little bit more challenging, but you could do it.
Amazing. It's, again, I'm hearing it's not a set it and forget it. It's it requires you to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And to invite people and to put it into your content and put it in your, you know, if you're using like a link tree in your bio on Instagram or, you know, people, I'd like to think that we all think that people just know all the things that we're all doing at all times, but it's just impossible. And so people just probably don't even know that you have that accessibility that they can join your list if you don't talk about it. So exactly. You got to talk about it for sure. As we start to round out today, what are some common misconceptions that you can debunk for us about Etsy?
Oh, okay. I think one of them is, you know, Etsy is oversaturated to make like a real income as a seller on Etsy. And I don't believe it's oversaturated. I think it's just creating a product that you have your own unique selling proposition to it. It's unique, it's different, it's memorable. It's not really reinventing the wheel. You could just take, let's say you sell, you want to sell like a planner sheet. How can you take the product and take it to the next level? So maybe you can make it available for new programs that are out there, like GoodNotes, and make it available that they could edit on Canva and edit on this other software. So now when you sell that product, you could put that as a feature, like, by the way, not only can you print this out, but you could use it in your tablet using 8 different apps. That's taking a product that's already making money, that you know people will buy, that is successful, and you're making it better than what's already offered. And then also a lot of people say, well, I see this store and they have like the worst photos, or their SEO sucks and they make a lot of money. I'm not making any. And what I tell people is that you don't know what they're doing from the back end. They might have a massive list. They might have a YouTube channel. And normally when I do research,
They got like 20,000 YouTube subscribers. They got like their own website that looks really professional. They have like 30,000 Instagram or 15,000. It doesn't seem like a lot, but you could make a lot of money with 15,000 people that are interested in what you sell and you're very niche, right? Not 15,000 random people, but if you're very niche. So when before you say, well, that person's store looks horrible, how they're making sales every day, research them, Google them, and you'll find a lot of information that you'll be like, okay, that kind of makes sense. They, you know, you combine all of this together, they have a little bit over 100,000 kind of like followers, and who knows how much they have in their email list. So therefore they're, you know, they have a Facebook group. So that kind of explains, you know, they have bundles that they offer. You know, you buy bundles, you get one free. That's another quick way to make money, especially if you're in a planner sticker kind of business. So there's potential. It's just about, one, how can you take a product, make it better? Two, have that patience to grow a business. Because a lot of times, maybe you started on Etsy as a business, you kind of grew your brand, but you realize, okay, majority of the traffic, it is coming from social media, me building my brand. Yes, I can make sales from Etsy, but majority of it is from these outlets. And that's okay as well. Because a lot of times people will buy from you because they like you and they know they could get that product on Etsy from five other sellers, but they're more buying because you are like the expert and they like you and they trust you, and they just went straight to you when you send the email out and they didn't go look at no one else. So it takes time to build that momentum too. I think another myth is a lot of people feel like they have to be super creative or tech savvy. And creativity is just like a muscle. Like you got to work on it every day and it gets better and better and better. That's what I realized, because that was me. I used to think I'm not creative. I'm not like, I don't know how to knit or sew or build anything. Like how would I even sell an Etsy? And I just started with like PD, you know, like write a quote on Word document, save it as a PDF. And that was simple for me because it required nothing else to do, just a black and white paper, basically. But with time, you start learning that, I could use Canva, drag and drop, that's easy. I could go to Creative Market and buy clip art that are sold by independent sellers and use that to just rearrange it. And if you want to make something super unique, you buy from four different independent sellers and you know those designs will look nice together. You buy from four and now you're really creating a one unique wedding invite versus, well, if I buy these flowers, I see them all over on Etsy. Well, how can you make them better and more unique? What you could do is add additional elements from different sellers. And now you're really creating something that no one else is selling. It kind of looks similar, but yours looks way better. So that's another thing is like you said, Laura, in the beginning, we have so much freedom now to learn things. Google's number one for me. If I don't know something, I do it there. I just did, my aunt passed away last week, and I was like, how do you add music to PowerPoint? I Googled it and I was, oh, that's simple. Like it was, it took me like 3 hours by Google to figure this out because it was hidden. It was like in the worst section all the way to the right somewhere. But it's just Google it, figure it out. It's so much easier now. We have so many resources. It's not as difficult as we think. It's just we overthink things. And I guess another myth is, let me see. The third one would be it's expensive, I guess, to start an Etsy business. And I don't relatively think it's that way. If you price your products good and you create something that people want to buy, people will pay premium price for something if they really like it. It doesn't matter whether you got zero sales, you just started your store. A lot of people say, I don't have reviews, I don't have sales. How are people going to buy from me? We all start with zero. The stores that have 80,000 sales started with zero. Yep. It's about your product first. And they're already buying from a reputable company, Etsy. So they feel secure buying there. Now it's your job just to have a product that kind of stands out. And it's different from when everyone is selling, by just adding your unique selling proposition and then kind of growing your business from there. So those are kind of like the three big ones that I get a lot.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. And I think it really just boils down to, regardless if you're on Etsy or your own website or only on social media, however you're selling, wherever you're selling, it requires you, right? Like there's maintenance behind the scenes. There are strategies and processes that can really help you. Mm-hmm. And I will always say comparison is the thief of joy. So if you are just starting your shop and comparing yourself to, you know, shops that are doing tens of thousands of sales a month, you're on different timelines and neither one is ahead or behind. You both are exactly where you're supposed to be. So don't compare your journey to somebody else's, because it will never be the same ever, regardless.
A lot of people tell me, I ask them, who are your top three competitors? Just to see if they did market research and they understand who they are. And then they show me these shops that have been around for 10 years, established, have, you know, 10,000s of backlinks to their blog, and they have so much authority on Google, and, you know, they're like ranking really high. I'm like, that's not your competitor, to be honest. Your competitor, if you are going to pick somebody to learn from their mistakes, learn from their strengths, not necessarily compare, but more learning yes. process, pick somebody that's been open a year to 2 years, that maybe they have 1,000 sales or 300 sales, and you ultimately want 300. Don't pick someone that has 50,000 sales and say, that's my competitor. No, they're right. not. They're way, I mean, it's going to take you time to even reach their status by now. They probably have a large email list, a large budget of spending money. So when you do pick somebody that you want to see, okay, what mistakes are they making, you reading their reviews just to learn, like, what are people complaining about the store? Oh, okay. I could learn from that and make sure I don't do that mistake, right? I could learn to make sure, okay, so they're complaining about not being able to download the file. Maybe I could do a PDF teaching people, hey, here's how to download it. Or I could do a quick YouTube video explaining, thank you for your purchase. This is how you download the video, the file. You know, you're learning from it, but like you said, not comparing yourself, because, I mean, we all do it. I have done it before. And it's a struggle. You know, you start comparing yourself and you're like, you feel like you're not good enough, or you're not smart enough, or you're not this, you're not that. So definitely just stay focused. And when your time is your time, it will be.
It will be. It absolutely will be. Nancy, you are a wealth full of knowledge. You've built an incredible online community of your own. You have, in my opinion, mastered the art of Etsy. And you have a ton of resources and places for people to find you. So tell us a little bit about how our listeners can get in touch. And I think that you may have an offer for them as well.
Yes. So you could get in touch with me. I think the easiest way is through my blog, nancybadillo.com. And as soon as you go in, you'll find a link to my masterclass, where I walk you through the 4-step framework for a successful Etsy shop. So I kind of walk you through. It's a lot of information. It's about an hour and a half class, because I give a lot of free information. On top of that, in the same page, when you go to my blog, you'll find additional resources. So how to rank your products using SEO. That's a free 8-page guide that you could grab right away. And I also have, excuse me, my YouTube channel, where I have over 800 YouTube videos on Etsy to help you grow, from social media to digital products to Etsy tips and tricks. So I have a lot of free and paid resources. And even the paid ones are very reasonable, to be honest.
Amazing. Well, 800 plus videos. I think you have earned your title as queen of teaching Etsy, because you are in it, and you are teaching other small business owners how to be successful. And I think that that is a really beautiful thing. So I have to know, what does the word gutsy mean to you?
Gutsy. I think it's just being resilient. Just keep pushing through and not giving up on your dreams. Like for me, it was just sooner or later, something's going to happen. Either I'm going to get a job and work that, and that's going to be my reality, but I know I'm lying sooner or later. And it happened for me, and it's like the best thing ever. But yeah, it's just being resilient and keep pushing through. You're going to have a lot of failures before success, for sure. But you could, you know, one thing I always say is adversity has a lot of valuable insight if you look into it.
It absolutely does. Every challenge, obstacle, what could be perceived as failure, always, always, always has a learning lesson in it if you allow it to.
Exactly.
So amazing. Well, Nancy, thank you so much for spending your time and your knowledge with us. We'll make sure that we have links to all of the websites that you shared with us in our show notes today. And I can't thank you enough.
Thank you so much for having me. Bye, guys.
It's my pleasure. On this Thursday's Power Back, I'm going to slide a little bit of mindfuckery across the table to you. I've compiled a handful of viral, successful videos from TikTok that made people go, "What the fuck, Laura?" And I've expanded and turned it into a Power Back episode for you. Mindfuckery tools are very simple but very profound ways for you to get out of the groove that your brain has created and step into a new way that welcomes a new outcome, new ease, and new success. I'd love to hear what you took from this week's episode, so connect with me on TikTok and Instagram. You can find me using @ThatLauraAura. And as always, until I see you next time, stay awesome.